In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Come, Holy Spirit, we need your anointing. I need your anointing this afternoon or this morning. I need that your presence would be felt. I need to be led by your Spirit. Oh, all who are led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. I am a son of God, and I pray that I would be led by the Spirit today. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Listen now. You know, Jesus the Lord went about preaching and healing. When you read the four Gospels, that's what you find him doing. And I tell you, Richard Rohr says, well, we do a lot of preaching, but we don't do too much healing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because our eyes are on the sickness and not upon Jesus. When someone comes who is sick, you get your eyes off of them because then you're thinking, how can this be? There is no faith. It is better to close your eyes and pray that the blood of Jesus would literally heal this person, that he took our wounds and bore our wounds upon the cross as well as our sins. You see, you get your eyes off of the sickness and you put your eyes on Jesus. You know, the scripture says that, you know, if we say to this mountain, well, if you keep on looking at the mountain, it's not going to move. You've got to look on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is the author and finisher of our salvation. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus when you're praying for the sick. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, upon his blood, upon his cross, upon his resurrection. Take your eyes off of the sick person, because the only thing you'll get if you have your eyes on the sick person is sickness. Then we'll pray like this, oh Lord, we know you're about to take Lulu, and we know you're about to take Giacomo, so Lord, give them a good time when they leave, rather than in the name of Jesus, Giacomo and Lulu, be healed by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, as I'm looking at Jesus, not upon Giacomo, not upon his sickness. What if they're not healed? Well, you know what? I don't heal them. It is Jesus who heals. It's Jesus who heals through faith. Oh, yes, through the Holy Spirit. Remember, he is the good shepherd, and he cares about his sheep. He cares about those people that are far from him. He wants to bring healing to us. He is the healer. It is by grace that we are healed. It is by grace through faith that we are healed and we are saved. By grace through faith. Oh, yes, which leads to works. I tell you, we know that there's a lot of preaching going on in the churches, but not much healing. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus has come to heal the sick. Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus has come. We see in the conversion of Peter, they had caught nothing all night long. But at your word, I will throw the nets down. And when he did, oh my Lord, all the fish in the sea began to go into his nets. And he gets on his knees and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Because he was astonished at all the fish that they had caught. And so were James and John. Jesus said unto Simon, don't be afraid. From henceforth you shall be catching men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. You see? Now they're going to be able to do these things. They're going to be able to do these things. But you see, you've got to keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, not upon the sick person that you pray with. Jesus said we would lay hands upon the sick and they would be healed. But we do not want to look at the sickness. We want to look at the big Jesus, the big risen Savior, the big Jesus who gave his life for us. That's what we want to look at. We don't want to look at the sickness, and that's just the way it is. We don't want to look on the mountain because we cannot move the mountain. We want to look on the mountain mover. His name is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Remember the first healing that Peter and John did after the resurrection? They did say to the man, "Look on us. Look at me. We do not have silver or gold, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." Oh my. And the guy started to jump and leap and praise God. And then they said, you know, Peter and John did this. They said, no, it is in the name of Jesus and by the power of that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is power in your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, there is great power in the blood of the Lamb. Great power. I'm looking at Luke 5, verse 12. "And it came to pass, when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face." He's looking to the right person, I'll tell you that. "And he besought Jesus, saying, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately the leprosy departed from him." If you will, I will, Jesus says. No if. I will that you be clean. It is in my Father's will that you be clean. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the lepers. I have come to raise the dead. It is my will. It is my will. It's my will to fill the earth with my glory. My will to fill the earth with my glory. It's my will to fill the earth with my glory, as the waters cover the seas. Yes, it's the Lord's will to fill the earth with his glory, with his holy, awesome presence, to bring healing to the sick, to bring healing to those that are cast down. But it's always that we look at Jesus, the great author and finisher of our faith, the great author and finisher of our salvation. Immediately the leprosy departed from him, and Jesus charged the man to tell nobody, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing according to Moses what he commanded, a testimony. And why does Jesus say don't go tell anyone? Well, they're going to tell him anyway. This man's going to let everyone know. Jesus says this because the great miracle is the miracle of the cross. Hallelujah. Don't tell anyone that I healed you, because you know what? There's going to be a healing that's going to be far greater when I draw all men unto myself. There's going to be a greater healing, oh yes, so that you would be able to bring healing to the sick, that you would be able to bring deliverance to those that are bound. "But so much more he went, and his fame spread abroad, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed." Always to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing. To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. What are your infirmities today? Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Look to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look to Jesus, the King of Glory. Look to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Look to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as it says in Italian, il buon pastore, the Good Shepherd. Look to Jesus, and Jesus Christ heals you now. As you look to Jesus, as you look to Jesus, as you look to Jesus, I look to Jesus now as the Good Shepherd who heals his people of every infirmity. I look to Jesus who is the healer. Oh, yes. And then you go to the doctor and have it verified. Oh, yes. I never tell people stop taking your medicine. That's none of my business. I'm not a doctor. But I can declare healing for people. And that healing, if it's real, the doctors will say it happened. Oh, I was just told just the other day that there was this great miracle that happened. And they went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, I don't know what you did, but it's gone. The tumor is gone. And the woman said, well, you know what? It's Jesus who healed me. And the doctor said, well, I can't believe that because I'm a scientist. Well, the doctor doesn't have to believe that, but he knew it was gone. It was gone. It was gone because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. I'm telling you, my friends. This healing experience is what Jesus did. He went about preaching and healing and delivering people. And this is what the church should be doing. He left orders, you shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. You shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. You know, this is just the way it is. That in the name of Jesus and through the power of his cross, people get healed and delivered by the blood that was shed on Calvary. Okay, let's continue. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And that's what Jesus always did after he had a healing campaign. He went back to seek the Father. He went back to be with his Papa, to be with God the Father. Oh, yes, he withdrew. How many of us withdraw? How many of us withdraw and just be with Jesus and be with God? How many of us withdraw to the wilderness? I tell you what the wilderness is. The wilderness of our hearts where Jesus dwells. Remember Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of us withdraw? That's just the problem. We don't withdraw enough. We need to withdraw and to be with Jesus. And we need to be filled with faith, you know, when we withdraw, filled with faith. Oh, Jesus, give me the grace to withdraw. Give me the grace to withdraw because it is against my nature. It is against my nature to withdraw. Give us the grace to withdraw. Withdraw to seek the Father. Withdraw to seek you, Jesus. Withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day that he was teaching. Again, Jesus is always teaching. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Yes, he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now we've got all the church hierarchy, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way that they might bring him to Jesus, they went up the housetop and let him down through the tiling. And his couch fell in the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of his friends who brought him to Jesus, it was not the faith of the sick man. He had been sick for years when Jesus saw their faith. I want friends like that that bring me to Jesus. St. Teresa of Avila says, if your friend doesn't bring you to Jesus, dump them. Dump them. If your friend brings you to Jesus, stay with them. Bringing us to Jesus, like what do our friends do? Do they bring us to gossip? Dump them. If your friend leads you to Jesus Christ, then you keep that friend. That's a good friend. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, remember the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the people of the law. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what do you reason in your hearts? No, I'm sorry. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man that speaks blasphemies? What did he say to the man? Your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what do you reason in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? Arise, take up your mat, and walk. But that you might know, not think, not wonder, but know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick man with palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up what he laid on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. They glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have never seen such things today. We have never seen strange things like this today. I tell you, my friends, Jesus knew there was a block, and the block was his sins. I don't know what the sins were, but the first thing he did was to forgive the man of his sins. What kind of sins can you have when you've been on a mat for years and years and years? Well, you can have a lot of sins. You can have a lot of sins. You know, the mind can say, you know, I hate this one and I hate that one. And, you know, we can have a lot of sins, even when we're not active. It's very easy. Jesus forgave his sins, and then he called him to walk. He called him to walk. I tell you, if your sins are many of you, go to confession. Go to confession. It is a healing sacrament. Go to confession. It is a healing sacrament. My brothers and sisters that aren't Catholic say, you know what? We confess to God. Well, you know, I confess to God too, but I need to go to the priest because I have sinned not only against God, but against his people. So go to confession. Pour out your soul. Pour out your heart. Pour out your being upon the cross. Because even though it is the priest who listens, it is Jesus who forgives through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus who forgives. Verse 27 of chapter 5. And after these things, Jesus went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of his custom. And he said unto Levi, or Matthew, follow me. And Levi left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. And then Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. I see Levi is changed by Jesus. And what does he do? He calls all the sinners to come around the table. You know, he has a wonderful roast, you know, he's roasting meat and he's roasting rice and things are happening. And all these people come around the table and Jesus is there because Jesus is fishing for these people. He never stopped fishing for sinners. Jesus found it very interesting and very good to eat with sinners. He still does at the Eucharist. to eat with sinners. Jesus broke bread with these people, and he gave them more than bread. I can tell you, Jesus gave them more than lamb. I can tell you, Jesus gave them more than soup. Jesus Christ was after these publicans. Jesus Christ was after these people around the table because he knew that they had all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what do you think he does? I'm sure he preached at that table. And what would be the appropriate preaching? Oh, I don't know if it happened like this, but I know he preached because faith cometh by hearing. And maybe he preached about the prodigal son. Yes, about the prodigal who had returned home. And he was saying, return, return, return. Return. It's time, publicans, to return to the Father. I tell you, Jesus knew exactly what to do. You know, Matthew was changed by Jesus. Levi was changed by Jesus. And he has a big party. Isn't it wonderful to have a party? But this was a Jesus party. This was a Jesus party. Jesus was in the midst of this party. Oh, yes. You see, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Jesus is in the midst of the party. Oh, and they were all listening. You know, I can just hear and see their faces. Oh, I see their faces looking straight at Jesus. And the devil was there saying, yeah, but look what you've done. But Jesus is saying, greater is in he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, he wants to give them the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, it's so wonderful that Jesus Christ ate with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. That's why he got a bad name. Why would a holy man eat with sinners, prostitutes, and publicans? Why? Because he was fishing after their eternal soul. That's what Jesus was doing. And you know, they gave him a bad name that you eat with prostitutes. That means you must be gathering with prostitutes. No, he called the prostitute out of the sin and into the glory of God. I tell you, this is Jesus. This is Jesus that does these things. This is Jesus who does these things. How many times have I said the name Jesus today? I didn't count them, but I can tell you it's more than 20. More than 20. It's Jesus who preaches to these creatures, and they are far from God. But I tell you, Jesus has his net out, and these people were going to give his life, their life to Jesus. Maybe not like Matthew, but they were going to give their life to Jesus. I tell you, Matthew was the tax collector, and he was a hated man. You know why? He worked for Rome, and Rome made the people of Palestine give taxes. But Matthew himself would add a little for himself. You know what I'm saying? He would add a little for himself. I don't want to be like that. I want to be able to give and give and give, because Jesus told me when I keep on giving, I remind him of the Father. I remind him of the Father who gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Today, we want to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. We want to call upon the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. We want to say, Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Take care of everything in my life. Jesus, I surrender. Take care of everything in my life. I pour out my soul to you like oil. Take care of everything in my life. I surrender. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Save me from myself. Save me from myself. Save me from the devil. Save me from sin. Oh, save me, Lord. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Take care of everything. What a beautiful prayer. Jesus, I surrender. Take care of everything. Take care of everything, Lord. Take care of everything. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Let me tell you that I need to hear from you so that we can pay our August bills. No other way do we pay our bills but if you help us. If these broadcasts are a blessing to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I hope you have learned to tithe your money and to give 10% to the Lord. I'm not telling you give it to me. I hope you've learned that tithing your money is what God wants, and he opens the windows of heaven when we tithe our money. How do I know that? It tells us in the book of Malachi that he even says, test me. There's no place that the Lord says, test me, but in Malachi, how I will open the windows of heaven as you give 10% to me. What's 10%? It's nothing. Again, the address, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Look to Jesus today. Only Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.